Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on RadioMD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. As usual, we are sponsored by Life's First Naturals, the makers of Direscue, Bovine Colostrum, and Truebiotics. Go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials. And we'll talk about what that means with our guest today on 1236B. The bees are always great guests, and we have one for you today. And the other sponsor, longevityplaybook.com. Go there and sign up for the free newsletter. Help you live younger and longer as a younger person. Dr. Wei Wang is a PhD at Brigham and Women's Hospital. She's a biostatistician, and we're going to talk to her about what a biostatistician does in medical research as well. She's an assistant professor in the Division of Sleep Medicine at Harvard Medical School, and a biostatistician in the departments of medicine and neurology at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Not too shabby a place. Dr. Wang, first of all, thank you for coming. And secondly, what does a biostatistician do? Why do we need them in studies? Why don't we just do studies without biostatisticians?
Thank you for having me. That is a great question. I think biostatisticians can do a lot of things. More and more people, especially the medical research investigators, realize that how important biostatistics is in every work they do, from clinical study to experimental study to animal study. So I can tell you a little bit about what we do. So before you form a study, you come with some ideas, say, I want to do this kind of comparison between this drug and that drug. And I need to know whether what I do makes sense. That's when you come in. They help you to design the right study so that you can assess whether the difference between the two drugs is enough power. And will help you to go to the right group, tease out all the other possible factors that can affect your assessment about the particular comparison. And we help you to look at the data. We use all kinds of tools to show you what the result is and what it means, not only in statistical way, but helps you to interpret the result in a meaningful medical way.
And I think that's important, meaningful medical. So you can have statistical results, something's different from one another, but they aren't meaningfully different. And you can have clinically important differences that aren't statistical, but the key that we like to see is that something is different statistically, is different in a clinically important way, and has some form of dose relationship. But this study that we're talking about today is a radical remission multimodal intervention, was a pilot study. So you looked at before and after, rather than randomly allocated it with something else. Tell us what the importance of doing pilot studies is, and how does a statistician play in that field as well?
Right. As you said, a randomized trial would be ideal, but it requires a lot of control of other factors. You have to follow certain ways. It will be very costly, and a lot of time it's not feasible to start with. A pilot study, on the other way, is a very easy, low-cost of way to see whether this program actually has impact. Once we assess, yes, it has impact, or at least has a trend of effect, then we'll conduct a formal, more powered way of randomized control study to pinpoint exactly what the effects are and on what kind of outcome. So even in a pilot study, the statistician will come in, try to control as much as possible for the other factor, either by enrolling patient itself in a certain way or by using a statistical model to help reduce the confounding effects.
Now, there's also an importance in what you did in this study. And I want to state it is virtually impossible to do a very good study, to do a study that is meaningful to clinicians without a biostatistician. And at least in my mind, by cutting out research programs, by decreasing funding, the people who will be hurt most will be patients, because we won't have as good of what we call infrastructure in biostatistics to help us both design studies, as Dr. Wang said, and evaluate the results. So a statistician is, although it sounds like what do they have to do with medicine, they're integral to both design of the study and analyzing if the results have meaningful value to patients. Because without that, without the design being right, you waste a lot of time, effort, and money. A biostatistician is really important. Now, in this study, it was a pilot study of six things: a healthy diet, exercise, emotional well-being exercises, life purpose, social support exercises, and mindfulness. So it's all of those together. And one of the things that a statistician will do in future studies is say, which of these, if any, is important? Which of these isn't important? Or do they have to be done together, and which can be done together? How would we do that set of studies, Dr. Wang, to try and evaluate that, not from a pilot standpoint, but since you're treating cancer patients and they improve quality of life with doing this multimodal study that was done at Brigham and Women's called Radical Remission Multimodal Intervention? How would one evaluate which of these things has any meaning?
That is a great question. Well, this pilot study and this published paper, we only look at the program as a whole and to see whether they have impact on quality of life. We have not looked at individual margin, whether it helps or not. As you notice that there are 9 sessions of this individual component of the program. So the ideal way will be we'll see which of the component plays the most important role. So that will come to the next stage when we design a randomized control trial, and we'll be able to have enough patients, enough participants, and to look at each module separately and look at how each module affects on each of the outcome domains separately, so that you can pinpoint by using this as integrated program or having a specific one tailored to your own need that can help you improve the most.
How can you evaluate, Dr. Wang, whether any one of these is important or whether we can discard? So 6 things at once, that's a lot of effort and exercise. I mean, there a lot of these are mental exercise, but some are cooking, some are physical activity. How do we evaluate, how could we evaluate which of these, if you were going to design that study? One of the reasons I'm asking that is I really want to bring out the fact that a statistician is really needed to help us do that.
Right. That's one method I could mention is called item theory. So in that kind of analysis, you actually study this component and find out the weights of each component on the outcome. So if you can see one component has a larger weight than the other component, then you will know it plays a larger role in this effect on the outcome. And that's just one of the examples. There are many other models that can help you to find the relative weights or contributions of each of the module and their impact on the outcomes.
Now, I have heard that the funding for research and research infrastructure is declining through NIH and through the VA. What's your guess on how that will affect the quality of studies? That will affect statisticians as well as everybody else, won't it?
Yes, it will. We're hoping that the funding for the studies as a whole and also funding for each member of the study will not be affected. As you mentioned that each person, each study member's importance is obvious, as statisticians are the very necessary part of a study team. If we're not there, and there's no guarantee the study will have a good quality.
And I think that's the important point, that a lot of the work done in the foundation of a study that's done even before one proposes it, which is what the infrastructure money is for, a lot of that is to make sure that when you actually propose the study and plan it and do it, it has validity and it will, in fact, answer the question you're posing. So in this case, it would be, is this multimodal, what we call RRMI, or in the way it said, radical remission, multimodal intervention that improves quality of life in patients with cancer, is it better than any one or any of the other things alone? Does this increase improve quality better than, for example, drinking iced tea does, or than proposal to do mindfulness does? The whole key is that only when you ask the question, and statisticians are really important at asking the question, but also addressing the answer. Dr. Wang, I want to thank you for coming on. And this Harvard study from Brigham and Women's did show that the quality of life was improved by this. Whether you could have done less or not remains for further study. But I want to thank you for improving our knowledge as well as talking about this. Now, I have one last question for you. You're also in the Division of Sleep Medicine at Harvard Medical School. Tell us how this relates to sleep in cancer patients.
You know, sleep is a big part of feeling pain or symptoms, right? When you do not sleep well, you feel more pain and you have bad emotion. These are all key components that can affect your symptoms and they can affect the effect of your treatment. So I said, it is very important that you have a good sleep.
And so hopefully you will help us by evaluating sleep in this study going forward as well. I want to thank you, Dr. Wang, and especially the 50,000 of you log on. Remember, you can look at this multimodal therapy at the Brigham and Women's. Hopefully, if you go there, you'll sign on for one of the studies, so you'll help us get, in fact, more answers. And Dr. Wang, thank you especially not only for doing the study, but for helping explain the role of a biostatistician in American medicine and in what we call evidence-based medicine. We'll be back next week. This has been 1236B. The B's are always great guests like Dr. Wang. And the A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Please tell your friends about us. Feel free to rate us. And again, we are brought to you by LifeFirstNaturals.com, the makers of DiRescue, important for the GLP and GIPs. When you change doses, they help decrease, at least anecdotally, the risk of constipation, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, and serious side effects, as well as bovine colostrum and Trubiotics. Bovine colostrum and Trubiotics have randomized double-blind controlled trials showing their benefits. Go to their website to see them. And the other sponsor is LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to their website, LongevityPlaybook.com, and sign up for the free newsletter. Maybe it'll help you live younger for longer. Thanks again. We'll be back next week.